Good morning. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll get to finish the book of Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 13. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and yes and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I shall see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. This is the last chapter of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews, kind of the format is in the beginning chunk of the book, the writer is explaining who Christ is and why we need to live for him and put our faith in him and why he is a legitimate high priest that we can trust. And then he goes into the whole faith aspect and saying, hey, continue on in your faith and let's persevere through the difficult times. Even if, you know, persecution comes, persevere in faith, and he gives examples. And in the last chapter, chapter 12, he has that famous, well-known verse. It says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So that's a more broader statement of let us continue and let us be faithful and let us run the endurance, let us persevere. And I believe in today's chapter, the last chapter, it's kind of the detail, the nitty-gritty of how can we run the good race? I mean, how can we persevere? And what does it mean to run this race? And he'll give us a more detailed kind of commandments for us to follow to run this race. And it's kind of like what I shared two Sundays ago about doing the small things well. Because we can think, oh, the race, it's so grand and it's going to be so amazing. We're going to run this race of faith and we're going to face difficulties and we're going to overcome. And it's just going to be something magnificent. And it is, But oftentimes, in the daily running of that race, it's going to be the small things that's required of us to do well. So we're going to just look at a few that comes up in this chapter. The first one, well, he starts off this, let the love of the brethren continue. So continue to love each other with this brotherly Christian love. And then he goes to verse 2 and 3. I'm just going to talk about that. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. You know, these two, for us, it's like when we say remember the prisoners, how many of us have ever been to prison to, you know, do prison ministry? No one. I don't think I have either. Oh, Pastor Salamat, of course, has been to prison ministry. But it's quite, I mean, it's challenging. It's like, oh, we never do this as a church. Are we missing out something? The local outreach has? Oh, yeah, I remember. We have done it before. You know, so remember the prisoners. And it says, remember those who are ill-treated. So maybe people that are outcasts, you know, we've done that at Zhengshan College, maybe working with drug rehabs, and then it says show hospitality to strangers. You know, we host missionaries and different people sometimes, but I think kind of the principle behind these two commands for us to remember is, I mean, sometimes realistically it's hard for us to go visit a prison, but I believe what this is saying is show love and hospitality and care for those people that basically will have zero return value for you. You know, we are, even from a young age, we're taught to do things and show love to people that's going to ensure that we get something back from them. You know, we talk about making good investments and investing in something that's going to return. And, you know, when we talk about being good to people, loving people, often we think, oh, if I do good to this person, what good is it going to do to me? Like, what return is going to come to me? But Jesus, the way he taught us is really don't look at people as market-style exchange. You know, like, I'm going to do this and this better come to me. You know, if I invest in this, what kind of return am I going to get? But Jesus says, just love people for who they are. There's a verse in Luke chapter 14, verse 12, and Jesus says, hey, if you invite someone to a luncheon, don't invite people that have a lot of money, because if you do that, then they'll invite you back, and then you will get your rewards in full here on this earth. But if you have a luncheon, invite the beggars and the people on the street and the lame and the sick, because they will have no way to repay you here on this earth, but you're going to get your reward in heaven. And that kind of idea, you know, you visit a prison and you minister to the prisoners. Although, really, I think once we do that, the return that we get kind of in our hearts, the joy of giving, the blessing of giving is going to, I mean, it's going to be awesome. I've heard testimonies of people that have gone into prison and they come back and say, you know, you go thinking that you're going to give something, but what you get is so much more. But in our worldly mindset, you know, you go to prison and minister to someone, that person is never going to be able to repay you or do anything good for you. But you do it out of love because Christ loves them. And it says here, because you are also in the body. You know, you're all human beings. You all share that same suffering and that hardship. So remember those that are in difficult situations, you know. So I think in our workplace, you know, look out for those that you can love and share Christ with and show hospitality to, that basically, you know, is not going to benefit you in a worldly sense and have any return to you, but you do it out of this love that Christ had for us. So I think that's something that we can remember, and you know, showing hospitality to people that really you may not see them again, but you do it because God sees you and God's going to return the favor, and you do it because God has shown his love to us. So that's the first one. And then marriage be held in honor. You know, be faithful in your marriage. And then the fifth verse says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? And I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. He says, don't love money. You know, in 1 Timothy, Paul would warn his spiritual son Timothy and say, the love of money is the root of evil. And so many people have fallen away because they were going after money. And this is something that I think us in Hong Kong, we can often struggle with, you know, because the whole society around us is always after money. It's like, how can we get richer? How can we make more money? And how can we do this? And how can we do that? But reminds us here that says, you know, don't love money. Let your character be free from the love of money. And I love that the way that he put it. Let your character be free from the love of money. We think, hey, if we have a lot of money, we're going to have freedom. We're going to be able to do this, and we're going to be able to do that. And you're just going to enjoy a greater freedom. But it says, let your character be free from the love of money. In a way, that's saying if you have love of money and if you are always pursuing after money, you're actually going to be less free. You're going to be bound by, you know, the money that you have. The wealth that you feel like is going to free you up is actually going to bind you and put you in more burden and more pressured. Because once you have money, then it's like, well, what am I going to do with this money? How can I invest it? How can I make sure that, you know, I have the best return? And I don't have a lot of money, but even with the little money that I have, I experience it. You know, like I remember at church when we signed our MPF forms and we had this chunk of money that's called, you know, MPF and all these different options, you know, that you can invest in. And I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what's the best one. And then I always turn to Pastor Sophia because she is our CFO, we call her at church, Chief Financial Officer, because she knows a lot. So we say, Sophia, what's the best investment that we can make? And she kind of gives us some advice, you know. But like the money that we have, we think it's going to give us freedom. But this actually says, no, you're going to, if you can get yourself away from the love of money, it's actually going to give you freedom. Let your character be free. I would love for me to just live in freedom and not worry about money and what's going to give me returns and all that stuff. And you know, the reason why we can do that is because God has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You know, we have God as our confidence and God's provision and God's promises as our confidence, so we can just trust God and decide to be content. Another version says, be satisfied with what you have. You know, what's interesting is sometimes we think, you know, what God is asking of us is be poor, you know. Live in poverty, but don't complain and don't want money. But that's not what God is saying. God is actually saying, I'm going to take care of you. Right? You remember Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. And the whole parable before that, or the whole teaching before that, is basically saying your Father knows your needs and he's going to take care of you. So seek the kingdom of God first. God is not saying, if you become a Christian and if you want to be a good follower of me, you need to be poor. You need to have no money, right? It's not saying money is the root of evil, the love of money. But God is saying, hey, I'm going to take care of you. You put me first. Don't love money. Don't go after money and seek after my kingdom and my righteousness. I'm going to take care of you and meet all your needs. So don't go after money. Be free from that. But we often think, oh, if we trust God, that means we're going to have to sacrifice all these things. But not necessarily, you know, unless God, you know, asks you to do, you know, give up and God asks you to do that. But usually when people do that, they're filled with greater joy than they'll ever know, right? And it's the same thing in the Garden of Eden. You know, when God put Adam and Eve on the Garden of Eden, God gave them everything that he needed to enjoy full happiness and full joy and just have a full life, right, in Garden of Eden. God didn't hold anything back to Adam and Eve. But somehow the devil was able to get into their mind to think that maybe God was holding out on something. You know, holding out, or God was holding something from them, you know? Because this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, don't eat from that. So even though God had given them everything for them to enjoy and be in complete delight and joy and peace and satisfaction, somehow they had this seed of doubt that said, oh, maybe I can't trust God. You know, maybe God is holding something out on us. And if we fully trust God and just obey and submit, I'm going to miss out on something. And so they turn to that tree and they grab that fruit, which is really just destroys humanity. You know, it's so sad. But we do that, you know, often. God says, don't go after money. Be content with what you have. Because God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you everything that you need. I'm going to lead you to the promised land and give you an amazing life. But we think, oh, if I trust God fully and obey God fully, maybe I'm going to miss out on something. So no, I better take care of my own life. I better take charge, and I better go after money, and I better, you know, pursue this thing or pursue that thing. And, you know, God says, no, don't worry about that. I'll never desert you. I will never forsake you. And that alone is enough for us to, like, trust God and say, oh, yeah, God's going to take care of my life. And kind of that's what it's saying. You know, God's going to take care of your life so you can be happy with where you're at. You don't have to be so filled with this desire for money. And I think it's different for everybody. You know, I think we're all in different places in terms of how much money we're making and what does it mean for us to love money. And like what it means for someone might be different for somebody else, you know. So I think personally, you just go to God and say, you know, God, you know, check my heart. You know, am I going after money? Am I pursuing after money, or am I okay? And so that's that. Be free from the love of money, because God's going to never desert you. God's going to take care of you. The Lord is my helper. You know, what can man do to me? And then he talks about remembering those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. So, you know, remembering your leader, but also he says, imitate their faith. And that's something that's missing in our Christian faith these days, you know, because so many of our leaders have fallen, and so many of our leaders, you know, they'll be good and then they finish poorly, and they lose their character along the way. So it's hard, you know, when somebody says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. As like Paul said, you know, we think, oh, alarm sign, you know, how can we imitate you? We need to imitate Christ. But I think in God's original plan, he wanted leaders that had the character to be able to say, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, and I think that's sad that a lot of people can't say that in today's age. And it speaks to me as a leader here. But for you guys too, as you are leaders in your own sphere of influence, you know, let us live a life where we can say, yeah, imitate my faith, because I have fully given my life to God, you know, and I think that's how it should be, you know, in our Christian walk. And then he, from verse 8, verse 9, kind of till verse 14, he's kind of reiterating what he said in the beginning of the book, you know, talking about Christ once more and how he's a greater sacrifice. And he's saying, don't turn away from Christ. Don't follow these strange teachings. Stay with him. And even if you go through suffering, that's where Christ is. So stay with him. And then verse 14, because we're not living for this city, you know. Here we do not have a lasting city, but we're seeking the city which is to come. You know, we're not living for what was happening on this earth, but we're living for eternity. It's having an eternal perspective. And then he talks about the sacrifice of praise. And P. Sam's talked about that. You know, it's easy for us to give praise to God and do good and follow him in thanksgiving if everything's going well. But the sacrifice of praise is, man, things are going poorly. And it's hard to trust God, and it's hard to live for God. But we make the sacrifice, and we choose to praise him, and we choose to give him thanks. And that is pleasing to God. You know, so, and Pastor Eugene talked about that yesterday in his EMP, you know, talking about the joy of the Lord and how it's not dependent upon what's happening to you, but it's just dependent upon you being in the presence of God. It says joy is the evidence of the presence of God in your life. You know, so no matter what we're going through, we can praise God and give Him thanks because He's worthy, you know. Just simply that, because He's glorious and He's mighty and He is the creator of all things and He is good and loving, full of loving kindness, and He's faithful. So no matter what we're going through, we choose to praise God and give thanks. Obey your leaders, He says. Submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. And they'll give an account for your soul. That's kind of crazy for me as a leader to think that I'm going to be giving an account for the people that I lead. You know, I think about the youth group. I think about the church. I think about the worship team. And it's like, wow, that's heavy. But He says, let them do it with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I think just very practically, if your leader is grieved over the people that they're leading, you know, it's just difficult, right? So, you know, in your own house church, whatever this means to you, in your own ministry, Sunday school or whatever ministry, let's really obey our leaders and submit to them. But lastly, I just want to end with the benediction part in verse 20. It says, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, this is a blessing. It's a prayer. It's saying, let God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead equip you with everything that you need and to work in us that which is pleasing to God. And the Bible is full of these sayings. It's kind of paradoxical, you know, because on one side, God will say, strive and work hard to obey me and be pleasing to me and be holy and to live a righteous life. And then on the other side is this idea of God is the one who works in you and who changes you, who transforms you, who conforms you. You know, Romans chapter 8, it talks about God, those that God predestined, He has something like He has chosen you to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, like God is the one who did it. He foreknew you and He predestined you to become conformed to the image of Christ. And then Philippians talks about, you know, God is the one who both wills you. Well, let me just read that because I don't want to butcher it. Philippians 2, it says, for it is God, chapter 2, verse 13 of Philippians, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You know, God is the one who is at work in you to have the willingness to work for God and to work for those things that are pleasing to Him for His good pleasure. So God is the one who's doing it, but then the way the writers of the New Testament teach us is, but continue, you know, persevere and do the difficult thing and fight the good fight. And even though it's hard, you know, keep going. So it's interesting. It's these two ideas. And for us, maybe it's hard to understand, but that's just how it is. You know, God is the one that's doing it. He's the one that's working in us. But in the working out of that, we also need to participate and partner with God, join God in what He is doing in our own sanctification, and really try our best as well to do the work that God has called us to do. But this morning, I just want to focus on this part here where it says, the God of peace who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He's the one that is at work in us to change us, to give us everything that we need to be equipped and to work in us that which is pleasing to God. You know, so if we feel like, oh, we're not doing such a good job this morning, let's just trust this prayer and this blessing and say, even though I may not be walking in the fullness of the freedom and the life that God has given to me, I know that God is still at work in me to bring out, you know, those things that are pleasing to God in my life, you know, and that He's the one that's going to equip me with everything that I need to live a pleasing life to God. And he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Right? So he that has begun a work in my heart, even though I fail miserably at times to be pleasing to God, he's going to be faithful and he's going to bring those good things out of my life. And he has the power to do it. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He's not just a powerless God, but he's a powerful God who's going to be able to work this thing out in us. So let's just meditate upon that. And Mon is going to come lead us in some worship. So let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. I'll just pray for us. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you that we can come before you and just, we thank you for that promise, God, that, you know, the God of peace who brought up from the dead, the great shepherd, Jesus our Lord, that you will equip us in every good thing to do your will, and that you will work in us that which is pleasing in your sight. So I pray, God, that we will be able to rest in that, Lord. We fail and we fall short of just this full life that you want to give to us. But I thank you that you're faithful and that you don't give up on us, God, and that we can trust you, Lord, in this walk. And I just pray as we worship you and as we come before you today, Holy Spirit, would you come and meet with us and strengthen us, God. Now
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, God. And yeah, we just want to really love you and live for you, God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are committed to us, God, even more than we're committed to you. When we are faithless, you are faithful. Thank you for that, Lord. Let's turn to our prayer focus, and let's begin with just praying for our church. And there are many of us whose parents are going through sickness, whose family members are going through some kind of sickness and illness. If you know any of them, please pray for them. But just a couple just that comes to my mind is Janine Basaraba, you know, our missionary in the mainland. Let's pray for her as she's going through chemotherapy. And pray for her family. She has three kids. It might be difficult for them at this time. You know, let's lift them up. And let's also pray for Belinda. I just saw her at House Church yesterday. And her surgery, everything went well, but she's got these blood clots in her hand that's causing her some pain just as a reaction from the medicine. So let's just pray that that goes away in Jesus' name. And if you could pray for one of our youth group kids, his name is Ethan, and his mom actually has cancer. And it's really hard on his faith, and he's quite jaded because of that. So let's pray for healing, and just pray for him. That would be great. And you know, Charles and Alex and Kiyin, Pastor Sam's auntie, Matthew Dalbo's auntie, and there's a few of that people that we have mentioned. Let's pray for them, and let's also pray for those that are seeking a job. You know, let's pray that God would really provide for them and come through for them in this time. So let's lift up those of us in our church that are going through difficult times. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor O, the New Life Church, and Pastor Tang, who is a pastor of New Life Church. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage that we go to, you know, annually. Let's pray for Grace Chung and Bloom. Let's pray for just great ministry and the love of God to touch the girls that Grace is working with. And let's pray for the Philippines, for what God is doing there. And let's also pray for Bhutan. Let's pray together. Thank you. Let's pray for our SP Ministries. Let's pray for the IP team. Pray for Matt, the leader, Cascade. Let's pray for Leanne and the well. Let's pray for Larry. And the Cascade is taking a break in December. And I think part of January. So let's pray for a good time of rest and refreshment. And let's just pray and cover these ministries as they often pray for us and cover us. So let's pray for them. Pray for the house churches meeting today for the last time this season. Let's cover them and pray that they have a great house church session today. Causeway Bay, Mac Daddy, Meg Robinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Let's pray for them. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and your blessing, God. And once again, I just pray that the God of peace who brought up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, that you will equip us in every good thing to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight. So I pray, God, that you will come and just work in our lives, God. And we need you and we trust you. Faithful, Lord, in our lives, God, and help us to live a life that is pleasing to you in everything that we do today. And we want to bring you joy, and we want to get to know you better today in some way, God, and walk with us. We thank you, we love you, we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.